Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we are glad that you're back. And given that we're on a roll, we'll probably have even more UFO shows. It may have been in one of George Adamski's books, but they had said that, claimed that there was a space brother, which is the proper term for people who are listening, not aliens. Aliens is inaccurate because humanity is, as the title of our last show said, throughout the cosmos. Had appeared in Washington and went up and introduced himself to a policeman, told him who he was, and they very calmly and coolly and let the government know, and they picked him up, took him to the Pentagon, and they had a discussion with him. And he also allegedly met with Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, and Vice President Nixon, and told him what they had been telling contactees for years about some of their plans what they'd like to propose to humanity, if humanity would be willing. You know, peace and sharing and justice and clean environment and so on. And the response they got from the U.S. government was, well, yes, that's nice. We appreciate your feedback, but we'll go ahead and do it our way. And someone has made a short film about it called The Stranger at the Pentagon, something we'll get into another time. And so that's the quandary we find ourselves in today. And as I said, we were helped in getting the real picture because, as Cindy pointed out, the governments were either clueless or were obfuscating the facts from people like George Adamski and Desmond Leslie, his friend, and more recently, Gerard Artson. And I'm wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about perhaps, say, Gerard, Cindy.
There are several books that have been written. Gerard Artson has been producing a couple of books the past few years on UFOs and their mission, stuff like that. I know Benjamin Krem has written a book, UFOs and Their Spiritual Mission. George Adamski has also written a number of books. Those were quite a few years ago, that talk about the inside of the spaceships and has some pretty phenomenal pictures that were in that book.
There seems to be a thread running through these messages from the Space Brothers and the early contactees in the mid-20th century and our own great teachers throughout history. And can you mention some of those parallels, Cindy?
One of the things that George Adamski had mentioned in his book was the teachings of the Space Brothers or their focus. And their focus was to indicate to us the importance, the oneness of humanity. We are all one humanity. Also, the need for justice, for sharing, for right relationships. We incarnate with the same group time and time again because we have karma to work out with them, right relationships. And the other thing that is critical is peace. We need peace to be able to move forward as humanity, to be able to grow in our spiritual growth, in our humanity growth is peace. But, you know, again, right relationships, justice, sharing, peace, the oneness of humanity. Those are so normal in a lot of the religious teachings of the great teachers in the past, you know, being Confucius or Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha. You know, they all express the same thoughts for humanity, the oneness of humanity, justice, right relationships, sharing, and peace.
And yes, you touched upon something very important, Cindy, the nuclear issue. Now, I don't necessarily know what it was foremost in the minds of the Space Brothers to show up in increasing numbers in the mid-40s. If I knew that, I wouldn't be sitting here. But my guess is that the number one reason for that was mankind's harnessing of nuclear energy and subsequent misuse, starting with the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We got help from our own masters of wisdom assigned to this planet back then, because the Allies and the Germans were neck and neck to produce the first nuclear bomb. And apparently the masters appealed to the Lord of the world, known as Sanat Kumara, also referred to in the Bible as the Ancient of Days, and asked if the edge could be given to the Allies to prevent the Axis of Evil from winning the war. That wish was granted. We created the nuclear bomb first, and we got the upper hand in the war. And of course, the rest is history. However, created it, as I said, we dropped the bombs on civilian populations, and we also began using nuclear fission for power plants to light our cities. And this was in violation of natural law. We did this out of ignorance, not knowing that the splitting of the atom is really a violation of natural law, as I mentioned, and that the etheric planes of matter, which we touched upon briefly and we'll get into more, tell us that on the dense physical, we know nuclear power plants give off deadly radiation, which is stored, they claim safely, but as we know now, it's not. But also on the etheric planes of matter, the four levels of matter above gaseous, nuclear power plants are giving off an extremely dangerous form of radiation, which is spiking the rates of Alzheimer's and autism and other autoimmune diseases across the globe. It's the most dangerous form of pollution, which I know you alluded to earlier, and needs to be reined in. I guess the idea is we need to shut down all the fission nuclear power plants yesterday. So I think this is part of, in addition to what you said, got their attention. And since then, they've been trying to gently get that message across throughout the Cold War and so on. And speaking of the Cold War, can you tell us a little bit about how they helped out everyone from JFK to George Bush?
You're talking about the Space Brothers and the help that they've given behind the scenes. A couple of different ways that they've given us humanity help. One has been mopping up pollution, especially the nuclear radiation. We have no clue how dangerous that is to us. David talked about the different levels of physical matter. Now, in science, we learned about solid, liquid, and gas, you know, as manifestations of the physical world. What we aren't as familiar with, and our instrumentation doesn't quite detect this yet, is the other four layers of the physical world, the etheric layers. Those are the ones that we can't see. So if you have a friend who can see auras, they are beginning to see those other etheric levels. If they see, you know, somebody's aura, or if you've heard of argon machines and stuff like that, that deals with those levels. The thing about the nuclear radiation is that it really does damage at those higher physical levels, those etheric levels, that our instrumentation is just so crude, you know, that we can't detect it. We don't know that we're doing the damage that we're doing. The UFOs are very instrumental in mitigating and eliminating some of that. They can't take care of it all. It's our house. We have to clean it ultimately. And we're responsible, but you know, we're also clueless. So they are definitely helping us out by mitigating some of the pollutions, some of the nuclear radiation, so that otherwise we'd all be gone by now if that was allowed to continue unmitigated. Since a picture is worth a thousand words, I'd like to show you some great UFO footage that we've encountered. Here is a video of a flotilla of UFOs over Guadalajara in June of 2014. You can see there's hundreds of UFOs. There have been videos similar to this that you can find, you know, on YouTube or on the internet that just show incredible things with that the UFOs are busy flying around and entertaining us, although that's not really what they're doing. They're doing work for humanity and mopping up pollution, creating the crop circles, and just paving the way for a smoother transition for humanity. Here is a video from 1989 that actually shows crop circles being made. In the video, we can see a couple of balls of light hovering over the cornfield. And as the balls spin around, you can see the crop circle being formed in the field underneath the UFOs. These are probably little scout ships from the big one.
I like the way you put that idea of the calling card. It's as if, as Ben Krem put it, once they've created the crop circle, we hope you like the drawing. It's as if they're saying that to humanity, because it's a piece of art. Myself, I've always been fascinated by the UFOs from the time I was a child. But it was the press release by Share International in 2008, December, I believe, that really got the ball rolling. And so I began scanning the skies last week of December and didn't see anything until around New Year's Eve, when I finally spotted a light in the sky that did not look like the moon or any of the stars. Started taking pictures and got some good feedback on that, and have been doing it ever since. That was over 12 years ago. And since then, I've also been clued into the idea that sometimes they will disguise themselves behind clouds.
The Space Brothers are busy mopping up pollution. The other thing they are doing is creating these crop circles. And, you know, as a lot of people have seen, these, some of the patterns of these crop circles are phenomenal. They seem to get more complicated. They've discovered new geometry out of these as well. But they don't really mean anything that we're aware of, other than to be calling cards, to gently nudge humanity and say, hey, we're here, you know, we're helping. We don't be afraid, because they will not infringe on our free will, and they certainly don't want to put fear into humanity. So they're kind of doing stuff subtly. And the, you know, the crop circles is like I said, a calling card. Now, these crop circles are everywhere. They're in the middle of the ocean, or, you know, the energizing of the vortexes are everywhere around the Earth, including in the ocean and what have you. And that technology going forward, or the energizing of our magnetic grid around the Earth, will be used going forward in our technologies of light, our technologies of healing, our technologies of transportation, and things like that going forward. So they're busy working on our behalf, and we're just nowhere near understanding how this is all going to come into play as things go on. We live multiple lifetimes. Our vibrational rate increases, our consciousness expands as we go through our lifetimes. Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom are basically our older brothers and sisters. They have tread down this path before us. We're basically barely in kindergarten, and they're all graduated with their PhDs. You know, that's, I'm just trying to give you a little bit of an idea of just the difference. They are humanity. They are our older brothers and sisters. They have gone before us. They've, you know, are one of the things that happens is as our consciousness expands and we bring more and more light into ourselves and into our bodies, our vibrational rate increases, our consciousness expands. Ultimately, we'll be able to be like them. We'll be able to walk on water, appear and disappear, turn, you know, water into wine, you know, that when we understand the difference between the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual aspects of things. But the UFOs have situated four UFOs around the world. This is very similar to the Star of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, which was also a UFO and was used to help guide the three wise men to Jesus's birth. And now we're doing this, they're doing the same thing. There's four very large UFOs that are positioned worldwide so that everybody will be able to see them and see the star. We've gotten some great pictures. David's taken some great pictures of them. I've taken a couple of videos. They are very good, but videos nonetheless of the star in the sky and it moving and it blinking. Our UFO stars now are very easy to find, I think. I just look for a star that's got a mechanical blink because it changes color, it can change size, it can, you know, obviously move. This is unique, you know, for our time, is these UFOs situated to be similar to the Star of Bethlehem.
That's right, Cindy. And 2,000 years ago, it was for the three wise men and a few people that saw it, where they could follow it and it moved and they could celebrate and meet and greet the one that would be overshadowed by the Christ in that era. And now in this time, as you pointed out, it's gigantic spacecraft, 5 football fields across, that millions will see. And speaking of which, we will touch upon during this show the work of contactees George Adamski, who wrote Inside the Ships and The Flying Saucers Have Landed, and his friend Desmond Leslie, who worked with him on one of those books, and also wrote one called The Amazing Mr. Lutterworth, which is a sort of thinly veiled fictional book, which was based on his information, his conversations with, his knowledge of the life of George Adamski, who discovered in time that he himself was originally from Venus. And this he revealed to Desmond. And these contactees and these space brothers who gave this information put forth as we talked about earlier, Cindy, great teachings that mirrored our own great teachers, talking about peace, the oneness of humanity, justice, peace, love, right relations, and the utter necessity for peace. And we, of course, as any casual observer could tell, are lagging behind the rest of the universe in this regard. Because we haven't grasped and applied these simple concepts, including those given to us by the Christ through Jesus some 2,000 years ago. And we can get more into the development of mankind a little later. So, carrying on with that, let's talk a little bit more about the mid-20th century uptick, Cindy, in UFO activities and what we think prompted that.
Uptick in UFO activity seems to correspond with actually a couple of things. One is our use of nuclear technology more and more, and the testing of, you know, during the war, you know, the world wars and stuff like that, of that nuclear proliferation of bombs and things like that. The other thing that seems to prompt the Space Brothers to be more active with us, Earth humanity, is the coming forward of the teacher for our age. We've mentioned Maitreya, but there's, so the two things are, you know, dealing with the pollution and, you know, helping pave the way for Maitreya. The other thing that the UFOs are, or the Space Brothers are really instrumental at, besides mopping up the pollution, is they are creating or energizing the magnetic grid around the Earth. We have seen these manifestations as crop circles or very similar things to that. One of the things they're doing is they're, like I said, energizing the magnetic grid around the Earth that will be used going forward in our technologies of light, our technologies of healing, our technologies of transportation, and will come into play a lot in that space going forward.
So all this information is coming forward. Meanwhile, the government's responded in with alarm and with disinformation campaigns, at least at first. And as I had probably mentioned, the message from the Space Brothers to the contactees was at odds with their message with for our need for war, in this case a Cold War, and the need to finance that. And since the Space Brothers were talking about the opposite, thus the disinformation campaigns. And you mentioned too about the magnetic grid and that they are going to help manifest that on the dense physical, and we could use that for energy and whatnot. So I can see this is some of what all of this portends, and you've connected that to the emergence of Maitreya with the Space Brothers, with the Age of Aquarius, and with the birth of a new civilization. At this point, too, I'd like to recognize Benjamin Krim, who gave us so much of this information in the late 20th century and early 21st century. He is an author, an esotericist, and an artist. And we can see how this information has influenced his art, though he sacrificed much of his career to give this information about the emergence of the world teacher Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. Could have been one of the world's greatest artists, and yet he sacrificed his career to bring this information to us, which serves as the basis for much of our material. Now, you've already gone into, which is great, Cindy, your psychic ability is kicking in again. You've anticipated the next question and the next topic. You've mentioned the etheric aspect of this whole phenomena, and why nuclear radiation is so dangerous. And I just expound upon that by saying this is also spiking the rates of Alzheimer's and autism, as well as other autoimmune diseases across the board. And that's another reason why the nuclear fission is so dangerous, because as you pointed out, on the etheric planes of matter, the radiation that it's giving off is even more dangerous.
Yeah.
And that in time, we will gain a greater understanding of the etheric planes of matter because more and more children will be born with etheric vision. And when this reaches a critical mass of a number of people that have this vision, then the public opinion, the public attitude towards etheric planes of matter and vision will finally shift. And you also mentioned about some of the signs that have been created, some of the UFOs themselves, and pics of these modern miracles. Could you talk a little bit more, Cindy, about the crop circles and light patterns and so on?
There is humanity on every planet in our solar system. And obviously, the Space Brothers, most of our visitors are from Mars and Venus, occasionally Jupiter, occasionally Saturn, is my understanding. But, you know, everybody's looking out for Earth and Earth humanity and trying to, you know, help us out and help us to grow faster and quicker. And I'm sure that they'll be probably pretty instrumental going forward as humanity's consciousness continues to expand.
So to wrap up our discussion, we've talked about it and we hope that we have intrigued you with the notion of the Space Brothers' role here on the planet, and that is to help out their younger brothers, inspiring us in all avenues of life and helping us clean up the planet so that we can continue on our evolutionary journey and reach the same august level of development that our brethren from the other planets have. This story is only just beginning. Even though this episode is over, we'll see you again here at Planetary Makeover, and we'll have Cindy back on again too. Thank you, Cindy, and thank you, everyone. We'll see you again soon. Hello, folks. I'm just back from another protest, along with millions of other people around the globe who are marching into the future and helping to create the new civilization. My name's David Minot. I'm the host of Planetary Makeover, where we create new shows every other week.
Hi, I'm Buddy Piper, and I want you to know how delighted my good friend Dick Larson and I are to be here with you once again as we try to give you insights into a better world. If you remember the last time we saw you, I have been pursuing this as a focal point, calling searching out the miracles in the world, the modern miracles since 1945, and we talked about a lot of them, and Dick and I have both studied in great depth the miracles behind the miracles, and today we'll try to reveal more of that to you. How are you, Dick?
Doing fine, buddy. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, and it's nice to have those people with us out there.
One of the things we talked about last time, buddy, was the crosses of light that you have been traveling around the United States to find.
Yes, and of course, if people may remember some of that. It started in Los Angeles, California, and then it swung clear around the world, and this was predicted that this would happen. Both ran into the same magazine. I brought one with me because I love this magazine, Share International. But it swung around the world, the the manifestations of the crosses of light that some great, great teachers said would be putting this information out to bring us to the awareness something great's happening, good for mankind.
And these crosses appeared in people's homes, in the windows of people's homes.
Yes.
And they weren't the traditional T cross, the Christian cross. They were an even armed cross.
Right. They send out some tremendously warm, loving, healing energy that you can't look at one of these and not have some kind of a change spiritually, emotionally, and many people physically.
At work, they have this mobile, and they do cancer screens. And they found that I had a lump. So I went to the surgeon. He says he wanted to have an ultrasound on my breast. So we went and had an ultrasound. And when the report went to the doctor, it was nothing there. So all this time, this happened before the cross. And after the cross, my lump disappeared.
When we pray and people get healed, it's because we ask Jesus to create a new organ again. That happened to me. He gave me a new womb, a perfect one. And this is the proof. We have this beautiful baby. And it's the same thing with other people that have come with problems. Most of the people that have come to see the cross, they come with a need, usually a physical healing that they ask God for through prayer and through this cross. I truly believe that it is through this cross too, because when we pray, the light of the cross gets brighter.
I get excited because I'm so full of joy inside. Yeah. I want to share it with all the whole world.
Another one of the miracles that we talked about, buddy, was the milk-drinking Hindu statue miracle that swept the world in, I think, 4 days.
Yes.
Where these small Hindu statues all around the world, it had been predicted, foretold centuries ago, that at some point they would drink milk.
Right.
And they did. People held spoons of milk up to these statues.
And they were...
And the milk disappeared.
They were brass. They were...
They were stone, marble, right. Brass.
And yet the milk disappeared when you held the spoon up. Maybe most of the people listening saw that on hard copy and some of the other things that flashed around the world when this happened. I even held a spoon up to one in a place called Chatsworth, California, and that milk disappeared.
And that was an indication to the Hindus around the world that a great soul had descended. It was told that when this happened, a great soul had descended.
And it also was a great uplifting force to the poorer of the people who are followers of the Hindu approach, because it's the statue of prosperity that it called attention to, which means that there's hope for the poor in the future to all the Hindus. And, of course, that has to be for everybody for the world to be great.
That's right. And another one was the healing waters.
Yeah.
Miracles.
Oh, I love that one, of course.
And that started in Mexico.
Well, the first one, it was told in 1988 in this magazine, Share, that I ran across, and you did too, evidently, and that there would be wells appearing around the world, endless sources of water, which would offer something very important. We're kind of... blasé here in the United States. We think everybody has health care. The truth is most of the world has no health care. And so the benevolent beings that surround our planet said it's time to get this into the hands of people, who let it go free and let people drink that and experience the healings which we have. We know if you get on your plane right after this discussion we're having and go down to a place called Tlacote, T-L-A-C-O-T-E, Mexico, 250 miles northeast of Mexico City, you would see people standing there by the thousands with $30 million worth of beautiful tanks holding the water so that you're not going to be disappointed when you get there. And most people get help from that water.
Not only in Mexico, but there are healing wells in... Germany, in Nordenau, Germany.
Right.
And then there's another one in India. Is it
Nadana?
New Delhi?
Nadana, north of New Delhi.
Near New Delhi, okay.
Yeah, right.
And one in...
The one that you're...
Russia, right?
One in Russia. He gets poised to me because one of the things I've done in my lifetime, among many other things, is I've had a deep joy working with the wonderful people caught in the drunk driving program. And so right. I've always loved these extra-sensitive people, and... I'm sure they smile, too, if they hear me talking now. There are 10,000 people around L.A. itself that I used to talk to. But this water that comes up in northern India cures alcoholism and excessive drinking.
Northern Russia.
Oh, what did I say?
India. Oh, that's well, not enough.
I'm mistaken.
Anyway, it cures alcoholism.
Yes, cures alcoholism. TASS News Agency put that out. If you want to research that, get a hold of TASS. Okay.
And the other big one that we talked about are all of the Madonna manifestations occurring all across the world. Statues that cry real tears, cry blood.
Yes.
Statues that move.
Right.
Paintings that weep. And then in Clearwater, Florida, on that, big office building.
Well, it's an all-glass office building down there. If you saw this on television, you must have been overwhelmed with the beauty of that, about a 60 feet high.
It was like it was in Technicolor.
Yeah, of the Madonna. You could almost see the baby there. She was leaning over so carefully. And this attracted millions of people. And, you know, the story about what happened after that, about the vandals.
Oh, right. They threw paint or something on the side of the building.
Right. Somebody got to it within 6 months or so after it came up there. The first people who had doubts said, well, it's just an oil stain anyway. But the millions of people who came there said, it doesn't look like an oil stain to me. It's a beautiful picture of Madonna. But the vandals got to it. And the fascinating thing about that, try to wipe off paint or whatever was on there on an ordinary graffiti around your house and see what happens, see if it comes off easily. A couple of rainstorms came and that Madonna healed herself. It's now just shining as
washed
brightly
right
as
off.
Ever. Something happened again.
And you and I have been studying
several
sources of material to discover the miracle behind the miracle.
Right.
And what we've concluded and what we want to tell people about is that these miracles are not a coincidence.
No.
That they're all connected.
Yes.
That they are, in fact, signs that help is here,
right?
And what's behind them are the great spiritual teachers who have come with their leader, the world teacher, and are here now.
Yes, you know, it's what surprised me when I started really getting into this. I've been searching since I was 6 years old for some answer to the problem of 35,000 children dying a day of hunger in a world that has a 10% surplus of food. And I was led into this information, and you came in from another avenue, but we both were led into the information, and we discovered that we really are beautifully watched over. If you read Time Magazine, it says 60-some percent or 70-some percent of the people believe they've seen angels, and
right.
You can't mention that on the air when I'm talking a lot of radio broadcasts and television broadcasts, and you do too, and you just can't believe the response from people who have seen these highly developed beings.
And we need to be watched over because these are difficult times for everyone.
Yes.
And there have been a lot of scientific advances, but there are many serious problems that remain, and we need guidance and leadership to find solutions to these problems. And that's what these great spiritual beings, these teachers, are here to help us. They're here when they come forward, and they'll come forward when it's the right time, soon. And they will be giving us, along with the world teacher, will be giving us some solutions to some of these problems. Some of these problems look like they won't go away. Miracles that we didn't talk about were government miracles or political miracles, if you want to put it that way. Problems like the Cold War.
Yes.
Looked like it wasn't going to go away at all, and it would be here forever. Share International had predictions by the world teacher, and one of them was that a man would come out of the Soviet Union, come to the West, and say, I want to offer peace, and I want to end the Cold War. And sure enough, Gorbachev did that.
It happened.
He approached Ronald Reagan, and not only did the Cold War end just like that, but Glasnost brought the breakup of the Soviet Union. We now have separate republics. That's a miracle.
That's a miracle to me, because I watched that for so long, so anxious, and all the young people grown up from the time of the last 20 or 30 years, and they know at one push of that button, it could all be over, and then it stopped. And isn't it magnificent?
And it just goes to show what happens when we get a solution
right.
to these problems. Another one was South Africa.
Oh, yes.
Apartheid. One of the greatest prejudicial problems in the world was in South Africa, as you know, buddy,
yes.
with apartheid. And de Klerk says that God told him to end apartheid.
Right. We happen to have come across information that a messenger of God, one of these teachers we're talking about, right. this leader of this group of teachers who are now with us, did talk to him. He interpreted it as God. In the meantime, he also appeared, this great teacher. He has a personal name, Maitreya, happy one, one who brings joy to the world. He appeared to Mandela and told Mandela, well, send a letter to the clerk here and tell him I'd like to talk with you. And Mandela said, oh, he won't talk to me. I can't even talk to the governor of the prison. And the teacher says, I know that, but send it to him. In the meantime, this teacher did appear and talk to de Klerk, just as you said, and de Klerk interpreted that as God had talked to him, and it certainly was an actual and perfect representative of God.
And a huge problem, once the solution was presented, once again just disappeared.
Right.
Same thing with the Berlin Wall.
Well, that one, you know, I got a kick out of that because I had, in my 50s, I got a midlife crisis.
You went over there.
I wandered all over Europe hitchhiking, and I got in behind the Iron Curtain because I was so curious about how a great nation like that could be divided, one freedom-loving and joyful, and the other just across the line. I got inside there, and they would let you go in at that time just as long as you got some money, because they needed it, and then they let you get right out of there when it's gone. And but it's so somber and hopeless and depressed there. I didn't believe the prediction that said very soon the wall will come down, or at least that's what I interpreted the prediction to mean, and the two Germanys would be reunited. I couldn't imagine that, but it happened.
It did. The good guys versus the bad guys. All these years, East Germany, West Germany, East Berlin, West Berlin, and all of a sudden they're taking down the wall.
Right.
That's a miracle.
And they're still functioning very well with a combination of the best traits of both sides, and you know, also utilizing some of the best traits of the democratic life as well as their life.
And these miracles are here as signs that these great teachers are here and about to come forward, and that we need to be alert. They're our wake-up call is what they are. And that we need to be alert because we are going to be offered solutions. And to some of today's problems, some of the terrible problems that we have today, you mentioned one already, alcohol and drug abuse is rampant throughout the world. Crime, no education or terrible education.
You know, that education thing, I have to go past that one right now. I know you're trying to move to that fourth one so we get them all out here. But that education thing is phenomenal because well, we've had an example of that, somebody who's aware of this problem. Recently, of course, we all mourned the idea that in the height of her life, 36 years old, Princess Di died, and she had been very strongly saying, let's stop the arms that we're creating, and let's stop what we can. And she knew the fact that the amount of money we spend in the world, all the nations preparing for a war, that 1% of that money would educate every child in the world. So we take 1% of what we put into arms every year, and every child in the world would have a great education. That leaves 99% for those who are frightened and want to have bombs and war.
Not 10%, 1%.
1%.
There's got to be a way.
There is a way. We just have
we can
to
do that.
Put
if
our minds
our,
to
if
it.
If we set our minds to it, that's right. And we need to be inspired, and that's what these teachers are here to do, is to inspire us to find some of these solutions. Another one... one of the things we were going to do is we were going to let people know where we get this information.
Yes,
people ask us.
Before we do, I want to suggest, if I may, Dick, that if any of you are near a pen or a pencil, please get it handy, because at the end of this discussion, we will give you several sources. If you've got a computer, you can get a lot of information. If you want to call free toll number, you can get. Put you on a mailing list. We'll keep you informed on all the miracles that are happening, everything marvelous about these teachers that are happening that we can discover. And believe me, if you'll give yourself the opportunity, you will get turned on like we are. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're just trying to give you an idea that there's hope out there.
So stay tuned, because at the end of this program, we'll give that information on how you can get the free newsletter and find out about where to find these other sources of information, one of which is Share International, which we had talked about, which is a magazine aimed at world leaders. As a matter of fact, it's in the Library of the United Nations.
Right, and it's also aimed at the leaders of the press. The press represent us, the people, you know. And it's also now being, other people are getting it too. But you will find that an amazing magazine, because this gets the information out. We both were astounded when we saw it, from these great teachers we're talking about. It's in there.
Right, and that's where the predictions were from the world teacher.
Right.
Which have almost all come true.
A couple or three more that happened.
We'll get to those, won't we? Okay. Another source of wonderful source of information are the 20 or so books written by Alice A. Bailey in the 1930s and 1940s Many people refer to that as the Ageless Wisdom teachings.
Yes.
And you and I have both studied those extensively. And aside from H.P. Blavatsky's writing, probably the other biggest source is that of Benjamin Krem, a contemporary who has now written
17
wonderful books.
Yes.
Which you and I know all about.
He carries this message that we try to give out around the world. He's been doing it for 20 years now. And if you ever get a chance to see him or hear him, take it, because you're going to see one of the most highly developed men on the planet. So those are the four sources of information that have helped us give out this information and that you'll be referred to. Incidentally, I want to mention this. Don't get discouraged if you don't get it down right as you start writing it, because we're going to mention it three or four times at the end of this discussion, so you can really get the information down.
These miracles are happening now because, as we said, we need solutions to these problems. And one of the problems that you just touched on was starvation, the famines across the world, and the starvation. As we speak, every 2.5 seconds, someone dies on this planet of malnutrition-related causes.
Yes, and we know we have a 10% surplus of food in the world right now, and we could grow 100 times the food easily if we weren't using food as a lever against people.
So you're right, the end of an era.
Yes.
And we're going to see, along with it, solutions to end some of the problems we've been talking about, starvation, and so on, crime. And what's going to come in instead of the competition is cooperation. I almost said it first.
That's all right.
Is cooperation will replace this tremendous competition that's putting a tremendous stress and strain on everyone.
There's nobody listening to us at this moment who isn't heavily stressed. I don't care how safe you feel economically, and most of the people now know that you're not going to have one job for life any longer. You're going to have 10 or 12 jobs, and if you can get them as you go through life. And this, of course, reflects on the young people, which causes them to be panicked, and this is the cause of a lot of the drug problems. I've heard one of the writers, Benjamin Krem, say that's called spiritual starvation when there's no hope, and
yes.
So you do something momentarily, take drugs of some sort to momentarily feel okay. And that spreads around the world and is getting worse. But it's just the end of the breakdown of the old, making way for the new. And that's why we talk about insights for a better world coming.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, it's already starting to get better if you listen very carefully.
And one of the things, and pay attention to what's happening in the world and these miracles that we're talking about. One of the things that we're going to discover is that when we set our minds to it with the proper leadership and inspiration, that we can put an end to separation. And we can work together to solve these problems.
Well, obviously, we came through an age that's ending that was taught us to be. And my English teacher out in Kansas, where I grew up, said, "Oh my gosh, I taught you to say teach, you're taught." Anyway, we'll know that the end of competition, as we know it, is ending, and this cooperation. We saw another manifestation on that at the, which I got a big kick out of, great joy out of seeing the. Cooperation of the masses at the funeral of Princess Di,
mm-hmm.
bringing the monarchy to attention and saying, hey, don't you ignore the pain in the world, because the person whose funeral is being taking place right now, and then shortly thereafter, of course, you remember Mother Teresa, same person, same kind of action she took, is what we want you to understand. And the Queen bowed.
That funeral was a wonderful demonstration of the power of love. All those millions of people, elbow to elbow, there was no problem.
No stopping them bringing those flowers. I love those flowers.
Yes, 5 feet high.
Yeah, five feet high.
And it just goes to show what we can do when we cooperate. The energy that we create is magical. It truly is magical.
It's one of the things about the future that we will get into if we don't do it all in this discussion. We have another one coming up later. We'll answer all the questions you want to send in. So anytime you call for anything, you write a question in there, we'll look at it and we'll try to answer it.
Stay tuned at the end of this show for that opportunity, because we'll give you lots of information on how to get the free newsletter and how to obtain where you can find this information that Buddy and I are presenting to you.
Right. Well, I had something I was going there, but I can't quite remember what it was.
Well, one of the things that people ask is they ask, what's going to make people share? What's going to make people cooperate?
That's what it was.
And we've already mentioned the predictions, so many of them that have come true by the World Teacher that have been published in Share International over the years. And there are a couple that haven't happened yet, Buddy, and I think we should talk about those, because they're going to make the difference.
Yes. The playing field has to be leveled between those who have everything and those who have nothing. because that's what competition has brought about in the world. Maybe we didn't intend for it to be that way, but that's the way it is. If you just look at the G7 nations, of which we are one, we take 75% of the world's food supply, leaving 25% for two-thirds or more of the world. That's competition. We must cooperate, and that will help us share in the world, and we will do that. But we have to be reminded how to do that, and we are setting into motion something now that the great teachers didn't want us to set into motion, but they're coming out because we're about ready to harm ourselves if they don't give us the right directions to go. And that's why they're here at this time.
Well, the greed that has taken over the world is going to cause, they have said, a stock market collapse. Not a crash, not a fall, but a worldwide stock market collapse. And this is not anything to be worried about in particular. It's not going to be a disaster because these teachers are prepared to help us through it.
What it is going to create is
going to create a lessening of that tremendous gap between the rich and the poor. And it's going to level the playing field, just like you said.
Yeah.
And we'll have to come up with a new priority besides money. And maybe it'll be caring for each other.
Maybe it'll be sharing.
Yes.
That's right. You know, that's right, Dick, exactly. The forces of bringing us all to a level playing field will also remind us of the environment. You know, it isn't just the poor who won't have food in the future if we don't get busy on the cleaning up the water and the air and stopping cutting the rainforests that give us oxygen. Nobody, I don't care how wealthy you are, will be able to buy food because there won't be food on this planet unless we get to that, and that will happen very soon.
And the other prediction that we were going to tell people about that will make a difference is this world teacher who is the leader of these 13 other teachers who are here now, and will be coming forth soon.
They're stationed in different major cities around the world right now.
That's right. And when he comes forward, it will be on worldwide satellite television, which is there for this purpose. It's nice to have World Cup soccer, but this is why it's there.
This is even more important than the Raiders game. You know.
And when the world teacher comes on worldwide television, all eyes will see him, and he will, one of the things that will happen at that time is he will speak to us in our own language, and we will feel his love and the love of the Creator, the love of God, in our hearts like mankind has never felt in the history of humanity. I mean, this is going to be an unbelievable event, buddy.
Everybody.
It will make a huge difference in the world.
There's no one here who isn't especially privileged to be here at this time to witness this great transformation till finally the entire world becomes our family. We're going to end separation, and we'll understand that the divinity in the world cannot be divided, and that we are really, literally, we are pieces of that divinity ourselves.
And we will find a way to share. And that brings us to a point which has motivated you and I and inspired you and I, and that we agreed that we wanted to share with everyone today. And that's a simple sentence that goes like this. We are human beings having a, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spirits having a human experience. That awareness allows us to have a completely different view of each other and of the world.
Yeah, if you get this information in the Bible, it says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father is perfect in heaven, you'll recognize that you're not going to do it in one quick 100 years.
That's right. Buddy, we want people to hold that thought until we see them again, and I wanted to ask you, do you have an update on that teenager? You had told me about a teenager in Massachusetts who was in a coma.
Yes.
And yet, when sick people came to see her, they were healed.
Yes.
What is the latest on that?
Started with her family, and of course, by the time people hear this, it could have changed, but the way we're talking about it right now, the update is that they are now moving her out to the garage and fixing the garage up beautifully, because so many people have discovered that the relatives just visiting this lovely teenager, she must be surrounded with some kind of healing energy, because every time they come there, somebody gets healings.
Now, we'd like you to stay tuned and be aware and record the miracles occurring in your own life and around the world, and share those with us on our Planetary Makeover YouTube channel and on our Planetary Makeover Facebook page. Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. For more background information, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's www.shareinternational-west.org.